an Air France A330 is missing over the Atlantic. Cirrus ups production and recalls workers. And cheer up, Detroit. Bankruptcy is highly underrated. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 2, 2009. As of our deadline for this AeroCast, there was still no definitive word on the fate of Air France Flight 447, which departed Rio de Janeiro for Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport on Sunday night. After the flight encountered thunderstorms and turbulence, contact was lost, with the last trace being an automated electrical failure signal thought to suggest a lightning strike on the airplane. Any hope the plane was simply delayed and unable to communicate ended yesterday morning when the Airbus A330-200's maximum possible endurance came and went without a sign of the aircraft. 228 souls on board are presumed lost in the Atlantic. Check back with aero-news.net for updates. Some furloughed employees of Cirrus Aircraft are being recalled as the company reports strong demand for its product line. The company says production will be increased to 8 planes per week. Cirrus says the recalls include its facilities at Duluth, Minnesota, and Grand Forks, North Dakota. The announcement comes just over a month after the company announced a production increase to 6 planes per week. In his memo to employees, Cirrus Executive VP of Operations Pat Waddick said that unlike the April production increase, the latest one requires employees to be called back and supply chain adjustments that may take time. CEO Brent Wouters credited new features on the planes and not an economic recovery for the increased demand for Cirrus products. Quote, the recently announced flight into known icing certification for SR22 and turbo models and Cirrus Perspective by Garmin integrated avionics suites across the product lineup are just two of the newer features that are catalyzing demand, unquote. We'll take the good news regardless of the reason. As expected, General Motors filed for Chapter 11 reorganization yesterday. As also might be expected, the huge bankruptcy, along with Chrysler's similar woes, is the biggest source of anxiety for Detroit residents since, well, the movie RoboCop. But one executive wants Detroit to look for the silver lining. Ed Bastian is president of Delta Airlines, which recently acquired Northwest Airlines, and both went through Chapter 11 in 2007. The Detroit Free Press reports that Bastian told the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce's Mackinac Policy Conference last week that the process can leave GM a stronger competitor. Quote, bankruptcy worked for our companies. Now we stand as the strongest airline in the United States and the largest in the world, unquote. He also promised that Delta is committed to its Detroit hub, which he called the best facility in North America. Delta is launching direct service from Detroit to Shanghai tomorrow. Up next on ANN, the U.S. may already be capable of intercepting a North Korean missile attack. NASA says a new planet has been discovered in our neighborhood. And meet the first mobile phone-based navigation app that's not marketed as a toy. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. During his last day on the job Friday, the Pentagon's outgoing independent testing official said the U.S. might be able to successfully intercept missiles from North Korea before they could reach the U.S. Bloomberg reports that Charles McQuarrie, Director of Operational Test and Evaluation, made the comment as North Korea again goaded the rest of the world with its missile tests last week. Quote, I believe we have a reasonable chance. I'd put it likely as opposed to putting it unlikely, unquote. One thing that is for sure, says McQuarrie, is that the U.S. would try, even though defenses are not fully developed. Quote, I wish we were further along, but we are not. If North Korea launched a missile or two against us, we wouldn't sit back and say, I wonder if we have enough test data in order to launch. We would launch, unquote. The mid-course defense system is ground-based. Boeing has been the lead contractor for development since 1999. In 13 tests to date, the system has logged 8 successful intercepts. Researchers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab report the discovery of a new exoplanet about 20 light years from Earth. The team has evaluated data gathered over 12 years using sensitive equipment attached to the telescope at Palomar Observatory near San Diego. Based on gravitational effects measured in the orbit of a nearby star, they've confirmed the existence of a planet about six times the size of Jupiter. But it's not what Trekkies would call a Class M. Like Jupiter, planet VB10b is a gas giant. Unlike Jupiter, its own internal heat could produce a surface temperature similar to Earth's. The technique of detecting and measuring planets by analyzing their gravitational distortion of orbits of nearby stars requires technology of great precision. The technique is called astrometry, and scientists say it could be of great value in planet hunting, using telescopes based both in space and on Earth. Until now, mobile applications simulating much more costly aviation navigation systems have been disclaimed as toys, but Grosshans IT Service International has released an app named SciNav, which it calls the first real and feature-rich aviation application in a mobile phone. SciNav uses a phone's built-in GPS receiver in conjunction with independent maps, World Airport, and a NavAid database. It does not use any airtime minutes while in operation. It's offered as a mini FMS with a worldwide orthogonal moving 3D map and navigation display with E6B functions. The system boasts full-color touchscreen with stylus, virtual keyboard and handwriting pad, data swap via Bluetooth, SMS and email, a web browser, and other applications pre-installed on a Motorola A1600 Linux phone, with other supported models promised in the future. MSRP is $1,298, but there is a 30% early bird discount currently offered, and even a 10-pack offer in case you want to equip your entire department. Find out more at www.cytux.de. Still ahead, Santa Monica NIMBYs near the end of the line. Amavest moves toward full production of the SJ-30, and a UFO lands at an Arizona airport. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA will soon be able to move a contentious California airport dispute to its outbox for good, one way or another. The Santa Monica Daily Press reports that on Friday, the last day before the deadline, the city of Santa Monica filed its final appeal with the FAA, challenging the federal agency's finding that the city lacks the legal authority to ban jet operations from its airport. The sometimes heated battle involves an attack on the airport, which opened in 1940, by residents who now live in homes the city allowed to be built as near as 300 feet to the end of the airport's lone 5,000-foot runway. Frustrated by obligations it knowingly took on when accepting federal grants, the city now wants to also eat its cake. The FAA Associate Administrator for Policy, Planning, and the Environment will now be tasked with drafting the FAA's final response no later than July 8th. If the city is still unhappy and decides it still has excess money in its legal budget, it's free at that point to escalate the dispute to the federal appellate courts. Amavest, the new owner of the light jet development program formerly known as the Sino-Swearingen SJ-30, says the successful flight testing of serial number 008 over Texas means regular production and deliveries are near. Number 8 is the first SJ-30 headed to a customer since Amavest took over the project. Chief Operating Officer Joe Gullion observes, quote, Our customer is very excited about receiving his aircraft. We have moved aircraft in flow behind 008 and look forward to beginning to deliver aircraft on a regular basis, unquote. This particular aircraft will be delivered to JetWorks Air Center in Denton, Texas after flight testing. There, it will get paint and optional equipment, then be delivered to the customer sometime this summer. And finally, officials of Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport have complained formally to the FAA after a package of high-altitude communications relay equipment fell on Taxiway Alpha last Thursday. There were no collisions with aircraft, but the potential is obviously pretty scary. The Arizona Republic reports the incident immediately followed reports from the public of a UFO. While the discovery of the source of the sightings had members of the general public laughing, airport officials and the FAA are not amused. Airport officials said the box was labeled with the name and phone number of Space Data Corporation of Chandler, Arizona. Space Data CEO George Ritchie confirmed that the company had launched several of the devices Thursday morning by balloon. He acknowledged the likelihood that they produced the UFO scare, telling the paper, quote, "We send them up to about 85,000 feet, and it makes them shine as if they're bright lights," unquote. FAA spokesman Ian Greger said the agency takes seriously the apparent violation of FAR 101.33 subpart E, which prohibits operating an unmanned free balloon, quote, "in such a manner that the impact of the balloon or part thereof, including its payload, with the surface creates a hazard to persons or property not associated with the operation," unquote. Airport spokesman Brian Sexton dryly noted, quote, "It's a safety concern when something enters our airspace unannounced," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, AEA's Rick Perry updates Jim Campbell on a host of regulatory issues facing the avionics industry. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.